episode 57. I'm Chuck Warner. With me, as always, is Dave Stern. Say hello, Dave.
Hello, and it's episode 56.
Did I say 56?
You said 57.
Isn't it 57?
It's 56.
Is it 56?
It's 56.
Is it 56?
It's 56.
Somebody, one would think that I would know what I was talking about, having just, you know, edited the last one. You're right, it's 56. All right, episode 56, then, fine. We'll wait for episode 57, if that's how you want to roll, Dave.
All good things come to those who can count.
All right, and the song you heard, because I'm turning it off now, was Sci-Fi Kid by Blitzen Trapper, who we've already determined in a previous cut trap reindeer and are thus bad for Christmas.
Indeed.
Yeah. It seems like, and just, you know, just to give the listener an inside view of how things work here, and I'm trying to think, it seems like the computer we record on has to crash about 30 seconds into every, well, not even 30 seconds into every episode, sometimes.
Somewhere between 30 seconds to 100 minutes.
Yeah, it's about somewhere.
Just at some point it goes.
Last, I was thinking last episode we had a crash, but that's not true. Last episode we had the Dave crash where he was just like, I'm done. We're starting this over again. It's terrible.
Yep. Quality control crash.
Quality control crash. All right, anyways.
Oh, also, actually, just a quick moment of follow-up, dipping back into
follow
I'm
that
trying
up.
To think history.
Yeah.
I just want to mention this. Yesterday, driving back to my home, I saw turning going straight on Braddock past Forbes Avenue.
Yeah.
Spangles the Clown.
Spangles!
He's still around.
Good, that's good to
still
know.
Still patriotic.
It's good that the distance we have from 9/11 has not reduced his
patriotism?
Ability to be a patriot clown.
Yeah.
Which is a thing, apparently.
That's a Tom Clancy novel also, right?
Patriot Clown. I would read the hell out of that, and I cannot wait for the movie as long as it has Harrison Ford or Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington isn't in Tom Clancy movies. It's because those are all white people. But, you know. Anyways, I'm trying to think episode 56 is brought to you by the Foundation Institute. You can find them on the web at foundation-institute.org. You can find us on the web at imtryingtothink.com or facebook.com/imtryingtothink or twitter.com/imtryingtothink or xxxnastynuns.com/imtryingtothink. That last one probably won't work. Unless one of the fans buys xxxnastynuns.com, then makes a I'm trying to think folder that, you know, redirects or
I'd have to think it's taken.
I'd have to think that XXXNastyNuns is taken.
Yeah.
I'm willing to make the sacrifice of a potential virus on my computer to test this out. XXXNastyNuns.com.
Is that spelled out
Chrome
or is that
could
three
not
X's?
Find it. So
was that XXX spelled out? Is that three X?
Okay. Three X's. I'm not. How do you spell XXX? I guess you're saying
triple
right.
X. Oh, okay.
So I could do a who is, but anyways, the point is that, you know,
available.
It may be available. It looks possibly available. I'll verify in a moment. But I did the intro. I did the sponsored by. I did the whole thing there. So I guess all we have left to do is just look up XXX Nasty Nuns. On the who is.
Sure, sure.
See.
This is how we'll open the show.
Dun, 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 dun.
We are a high-minded podcast
domain
about
is currently
ideas.
Not registered. It's available for you now, Dave.
Hello.
Hello. So, but now that I've
all
searched
right,
for it.
Does this augur a podcast name change?
Now that I've searched for it, somebody, some domain sitter is going to come along and snatch it up with the hope that I will pay them lots of money for XXXNastyNuns.com.
They should set sail and prepare for disappointment.
Yeah. Major, major disappointment. So, Dave.
But I will say, you're the one who always wants to popularize the podcast.
I do.
I feel like a high-minded, you know, it might be tricky to keep in iTunes because I think they're particular about some sorts of things.
Yes.
But on the other hand, I think a high-minded, you know, philosophy, culture, and humor podcast called XXX Nasty Nuns might get more attention.
What we could do to fool iTunes is we change the name up a little bit, right? Nuns Who Art Nasty in the style of three X's.
Now it just sounds like Chaucer.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's what Chaucer wrote about, pretty
mostly.
Much.
Also poop jokes.
Nasty
also
poop jokes. That was the thing, you know, that was the style at the time, Dave.
Man, it really is surprising, like, because there's so much of classic literature and world literature that people find get obscured from because of language or because of, you know, culture, or, you know, because it's been moved to the canon of, you know, oh, that's high culture. But then you dig into it and it's poop jokes all the way down.
Well, like, people always talk
Voltaire,
about how...
Voltaire, poop jokes. Shakespeare, poop jokes.
British,
Chaucer, poop jokes.
They always say, oh, British humor is very dry and high-minded. And I'm like, Benny Hill? What? Have you never seen a British show? Because they are not... Their dramas tend to be high-minded, but those are also as boring as American dramas, which are similarly high-minded.
And also, some of their dramas are also trashy cop shows.
It's true. Yeah.
The British, they're just like us.
They, yeah. Literally, in some cases, just like us.
They have many kinds of humor and television shows.
All right, well...
Also,
yeah.
They call cookies biscuits.
They do, which is weird.
Here's the thing I don't know. What do they call biscuits?
I don't know. English muffins. Yeah, blew your mind right there. So anyways,
so
they also call...
What do they call English muffins?
They call your...
Muffins?
Your bum... Your pant, your fanny, but then, I don't know, something like that. But then your bum is not your bum, or maybe your fanny, I don't know, there's some stuff going on.
Fanny is your lady parts, and...
I don't have lady parts, Dave.
Yeah, well, then you should have thought fannies.
Not on me, I mean, you know, I have a collection, but...
Yeah.
Not on me.
All right, high-minded.
High-minded.
Pop cultural talk.
And also, pants are underwear.
Yes.
That's, again, that doesn't make any sense. Okay, so anyways, which it's always funny because I have a friend who lives in London and she was visiting the States once, and it's always funny that you have, you actually have a language barrier because you say things and she thinks that you're saying something completely different. Like, I need to put on some pants. That's a whole different thing to her.
Right, right.
Yeah. So anyways, or I'm going to go take off my pants. Different thing. Dave, I had a revelation this morning.
Yeah.
I'm just going to share it with you now.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm listening. I'm ready to be revealed to. I'm ready to receive wisdom.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Cousin Larry comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Hey, Balky. Hey, Balky. Hey, Balky. Hey, Balky, hey, Balky, we are perfect strangers, hey, Balky.
All right, those of you in podcast land, you can now put down your lighters.
I think we're going to sing a song in every episode from now to the end of eternity.
Are they all going to be themed on Miller Boyette? 80s television?
Maybe. They might all be Miller Boyette. There's a lot of digging there. You can get deep into the Miller Boyette productions.
Nothing else, Family Matters?
Oh, man, I'm writing that one down.
Yeah. Capture
Never
that.
Never urkled myself this way. Yeah.
Oh, high-minded.
Yeah. Anyways, so that was my revelation, that I could do basically a whole parody of Let It Be about Perfect Strangers. Which is I think it's the only quality production that Miller Boyette can be held accountable for in that, you know, in that kind of, I think it was an ABC lineup.
Yeah, I mean, Miller Boyette, I mean, I think all that stuff was on ABC, the Family Matters, the
yeah.
Full House.
Well, Family Matters and Full House, actually, Dave, same universe.
I did not know that.
Yep. Yep.
Is that like the Miller Boyette-iverse?
It's kind of
like... Do they have
the
a coherently constructed universe?
Yeah, because... So, Full House, Family Matters, and then there was the other one with the curly-haired guy. I don't remember. But anyways, I know...
Curly Joe,
I know. I know all those were in the same, like, universe. Multiverse, if you will.
Is it because Uncle Jesse and Carl Winslow... both hung out with Detective Munch.
No, to me,
I'm pretty sure it's a Richard Belzer thing.
I'm pretty sure that
all television universes are determined by Richard Belzer.
I'm pretty sure that what was his name? Winslow.
Winslow
was in Die Hard, wasn't he?
Yes.
As a cop.
Yes.
And he said, you know, he tells that story about how he shot a kid. I always like to think that that was Urkel. Even though Die Hard came out years before Family Matters. Don't care.
It's like a fractured chronology thing. It's like Memento.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. So, but the thing is, if Miller of Miller Boyette had his hand in Mork and Mindy, and Laverne and Shirley in Happy Days. So, you know, there's some goodness there. Milkus Boyette produced Bosom Buddies, which is now like being totally wholesale copied into some awful looking show.
Work it.
And then when you get into it was the early 90s, Dave, not the 80s, when you get your, it was late 80s, early 90s for Full House, for Family Matters. And the Hogan Family. You remember the Hogan Family?
Nope.
No. Step by Step was the one I was thinking of, Dave, and that started in the early 90s.
Yes, Patrick Duffy from Dallas.
Patrick Duffy, there you go.
From Dallas.
From
And the other thing that's important is it was basically like the same way that Work It is Bosom Buddies, Step by Step was the Brady Bunch. It just was.
It was a
divorced guy, divorced lady, kids. It was the same thing.
It was, yeah. They shook it up, though, so that some of the girl kid, the one girl was the guy's daughter, and then the one boy was the lady's son, so... Ooh.
A brilliant inversion of expectation and formula.
Actually, I think it would be more interesting if there was a show that was Brady Bunch, but inverse, so that the guy had three girls and the girl had three guys.
I think it would be more interesting
if
there was a Brady Bunch show that was inverse, so there was a guy with three dads and a girl with three moms, and they got married.
They did. They already did My Two Dads, so it would just be a copy of that. So
no, it's like the Grand Brady Bunch.
My Two Dads, though, not a Miller Boyette production. I think Paul Reiser will have nothing to do with Miller Boyette. That's what I heard in my brain where I just made it up. So anyways, setting aside Miller and
High-minded.
Boyette. Setting aside Miller and
High-minded.
Boyette, let's talk about NFL action.
Yeah, there's a lot of great NFL films
that
music
that we don't have any of the rights to, and the NFL being
highly litigious.
Yeah, highly litigious. I was gonna say famed for their litigiousness. But yes.
Okay, hold on. Here's what you do.
We don't want to break.
You keep talking. Start talking. Distract the NFL with your talking, and I'm going to sneak a little bit in here.
Hey, NFL. Hey. How about a guy...
Wait, hold on. That's a Tetris theme song, I think.
No,
I was trying to do the beginning of an NFL film.
This
films
one? I think this
thing.
Is the one. This is the one. Ba-ba-ba-ba-da-da-na-na-na. That one?
There's one with the bells, where it's like... Okay. I think we're safe. Because none of this sounds like anything. So, okay, NFL, the
Charles
playoffs.
In charge. No, wait, that's a different thing. Also not a Miller Boyette production. All right. So let's do our NFL picks. And here's the theme music for the NFL pick segment. But the dinema picks. All right.
Oh, that sucked.
Yeah. I'm not in the...
We got to work on it.
Not in a jingle-making mood today. All right. First... Let's go with the NFC.
Okay, AKA the
conference we don't care about.
What might be wise is we should probably say what day it is.
Okay, today is the 14th of January, but as Dave and a game is about to start in like a half hour. And I told Dave we should try and get this right out. So we're going to try and just do it right out in my basement. We're going to go crazy and release the same day we recorded. It's nutty, but it could work.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Regardless, Dave, let's start with the NFC, a.k.a. the conference we don't care about.
Yes.
New Orleans, San Francisco, Niners, and other Niners. Saints.
Saints.
Saint Niners.
What?
Saint Niners. And then not so saintly Niners.
Hmm.
All right. Dave.
Yeah.
New Orleans has some people on it.
It does.
San Francisco, different people. They will face each other on a green surface, which is 100 yards long and something like, I don't know, 30 yards wide or some number like that. What's going to happen?
It's a clash. Two 13-3 teams, high-powered, high-octane offense versus one of the NFL's best defenses in a matchup that has no religious implications, or people aren't as excited about it as maybe they should be. So I'm going to see it. Like, it's just a really good football game between two 13-3 teams. Who's interested in that?
That is boring, know. Dave.
Anyhow. I think that the... I don't know, the Saints, I mean, they've just looked real good when I've seen them. But on the other hand, you know, this San Francisco defense, I don't know much about it, but...
Let's not forget, Dave, it's strong. January.
It's cold, and it's outside.
A New Orleans team has to go to San Francisco, where it is chilly.
And windy.
And windy.
And grassy. It is not a dome.
It is not a dome.
I think San Francisco might take it. I think it'll surprise people.
If San Francisco takes it, I will be surprised, but I think this is kind of a either team could win it game. Yeah. And I also think that both of these teams are in a poor position to play the next team they're going to have to face, whether it be next game, Dave, the Giants and the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. The sad thing about this is I make weekly football picks because I'm in a pool. Do I remember?
I try to do that.
Do I remember any of them for this segment? No, sir, I do not.
Nice. So, who will the winner of New Orleans-San Francisco be facing off against, Dave? Green Bay or New York Giants?
Well, there's been a lot of upset talk about these here New York Giants because their defense is very strong. They've got a great front seven. They're going to get in Aaron Rodgers' face. But on the other hand, I think this is a thing where, okay, so Green Bay has just kind of been away and quiet for a couple weeks because they got the bye.
Yeah. You know?
And the Giants, they just thrashed the hell out of the Falcons.
Yes.
So people are really impressed by the Giants. They've kind of forgotten about how good the Packers are. And people have just been clawing their way onto the Giants bandwagon on this one.
Yeah.
But I think the Packers are going to be like, hey, we went 15-1 because our offense is ridiculously good, remember? I think Packers are going to take it.
But here's the factoid, if you will. The as much as I don't really logically grok how the whole on a streak thing works, it definitely happens. And people who rest for weeks and weeks often seem very rusty coming out of the gate. If that Giants team goes in there hot, and this is what they did the year they did win the Super Bowl, is they came out of nowhere like a flaming streak, they could completely upset and beat the Packers. I think it will get close. If they do, I think that they would have to get out ahead early, and it would get closer as the day went on, but they would, you know, get enough of a lead to hold on.
I don't know. The last game between them was a shootout. It was, despite, you know, their offense has been pretty prolific this year. I mean, thing nobody realizes because it's weird. Eli Manning did pass for 5,000 yards this year.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing.
Ridiculous. And the NFL is ridiculous with passing right now.
Yeah, because of
that's its own
quarterback protection thing. Yeah.
No, it's not even the quarterback protection. It's you can't touch receivers, and they'll call...
Well, you can't touch receivers. You can't be... If you're running to catch a receiver, you have to back off if he catches the ball, because chances are you're running headlong, which means you have to readjust so that you do not lead with your helmet into the guy who has the ball.
It's also basically if you're within 5 yards of a receiver and they're about and they might catch a football, that is, I believe, now defensive pass interference.
There's a distinct issue, I think, with defenders in general having to pull up or adjust right as they are about to tackle or grab somebody to conform to the rules that are protecting the players. And that is stressful and difficult on the defensive players' bodies, and means you miss a lot of tackles. So anyways, back to the game, Dave. Yeah, I could see it going either way.
Yeah, because, last time it was a shootout that was, 30-something to 30-something minus three. Packers pulled it off.
Yeah.
But
if the
it could Packers, go either way, but I'm calling it for the Packers.
If the Packers come out rusty, I think the Giants have a really good chance of winning. But if I had to bet money, I would probably bet money on the Packers.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Okay. Houston, Baltimore.
All right, battle of boring teams that can run the football.
Battle of teams I probably should hate.
Well, Houston, who cares? About Houston?
The Oilers used to be a thing.
They're in Texas, but they're not. It's not even like, they're not the Oilers. I hate Texas, because if you do,
I just don't care.
And also, even if you did have that, I'm a guy who hates Texas. I sure hate Texas, thing going.
If I had that thing going.
Then that's the Cowboys. That translates into the Cowboys.
Does that translate into the Cowboys?
Yeah, that's...
What is going on? My Xbox has just decided to start being a thing. So I'm going to... There we go. That's off now.
Okay, so you're not being distracted by what apparently was the Larry Sanders show.
I have no idea what's going on back there.
It just decided you need to watch the Larry Sanders show.
The Xbox took on a mind of its own and decided...
Football picks over. Larry Sanders now.
It's Larry. I'm bored. Larry Sanders.
But anyhow... So yeah, Houston, I have no feelings about. Baltimore, we don't like because they're jerks. However, basically...
Also, Baltimore is a terrible city.
This is two teams that actually look a lot like each other in some ways. Basically, power-running teams. Good defense. The differences are, one, basically, Baltimore this year has been kind of a schizo team. They've been meh to terrible on the road.
If they are playing the Steelers, they're awesome.
They've been dominant at home. And they are at home, and so actually, that's a point for them.
They dominated all the teams in their division pretty strongly.
Yeah, but then they lost some stinkers to some teams outside their division.
Exactly.
Weird team this year.
Yeah.
But Houston, Matt Schaub, hurt. Matt Leinart, hurt. They're throwing, T.J. Yates, third-string quarterback, You don't pick a third-string quarterback to win on the road playoffs.
But
you just don't.
When you are a power-running team, the guy behind the trigger doesn't matter as much. That said, Baltimore can stack the box a lot more knowing that guy is probably not going to be pulling. Yeah, he's not going
to
be pulling
And he's
the
not
trigger.
Throwing to a healthy Andre Johnson either.
Right.
So
yeah, that looks like a Baltimore win there. Now, Dave, the moment we've all been waiting for.
The main event, apparently.
The Tebowing. Tim Tebow and Jesus versus Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. That's actually what's going to happen on the field. Tim Tebow is going to take hikes from Jesus. The Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are going to have to do the four count, before they can rush. And
I think you might be getting football mixed up with flag football.
Yeah, it's 2-on-2 football,
they're just the rest of the
team has to sit on the side and watch.
Uh-huh.
Who wins in a Tebow, straight up, Tebow Jesus versus Belichick Brady match?
In a 2-on-2?
In a 2-on-2.
Is it touch or flag or tackle?
It's, we'll say touch. It's going to be touch.
Okay, it's touch?
Yeah. And referees are watching, so there's not going to be
any shenanigans.
No shenanigans.
Hmm. What's Jesus run?
A 3-7.
Ooh, that's fast.
Yeah, he's Jesus.
He's very fast.
I don't want to give him too much, but, he's a skinny guy. He spent a lot of time in the desert. That's that's cross-training, I think, so.
Uh-huh.
It's like a 3-7, yeah.
Is this, old Jesus, or is this,
it's like 30,
like,
in his
prime?
His prime Jesus, he's preaching, he's a turning over the tables of the moneylenders, that kind of
thing. Okay,
Jesus.
So it's going to be hard for Belichick to keep up with him.
Yeah.
Because Belichick is a middle-aged, older
that's
guy.
That's just
the
problem.
That's just facts.
Belichick is just going to have to outthink him in a 2-2 situation, 2v2
mm-hmm.
situation.
He knows more about football.
He does. He knows way more about football than Jesus. I'll give you that. To even it out a little, since we are dealing with a divine entity, Jesus doesn't know shit about football. Because, he died a long time ago.
How much film does Jesus watch a week?
Jesus does not watch film. Jesus is an on-the-field guy. Jesus does not watch film. He thinks he's going to get by with athleticism and martyrdom.
Hmm. could go either way. It's a toss-up.
Yeah.
It's rough.
But in the actual game, I think the Patriots will just dissect the Broncos, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because the Patriots' defense is terrible, but
this is
the things they're good at map pretty well to the things they need to do to stop the Broncos. And basically, Tebow's going to need to complete a lot of, like, 5 to 20-yard passes against them, and that's not his specialty.
More than any other team, the Patriots are often willing to change up entirely how they play the game in late season or in the playoffs to basically destroy something about the other team. You know, they watch a lot of film. They adjust. It's like a whole team of Palomalus, which is really irritating from somebody, from the perspective of somebody who's had to watch his team play them for year after year.
Except for the part where hopefully they're not going to be a whole team that gets burned as badly as Palomalu did last week.
Oh, shut it.
That would be.
Anyways,
that wouldn't be.
You're a terrible person. Troy Polamalu is a saint. Anyways.
No, he's a Steeler. Hey-o! Football team joke.
Football team joke. All right, so I'm picking New England. If Brady pulls this one out, as far as I'm concerned, Jesus is intervening in football, and I don't want to watch anymore because that's cheating.
When you said Brady, you meant Tebow, right?
I said Brady would pull it out, right?
No, you said if Brady pulls it out,
oh, if Tebow
then
pulls
Jesus
it out.
Is real. And that's not
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
that
that's not how.
Right.
That's the opposite of what's true. Obviously true.
Sure.
Objectively, obviously true.
I'm really not sure if that's the right way to settle epistemology, but I do agree with your pick here. I think it's just, I mean, the Patriots pretty much, you know, Denver got ahead early. Like, it was terrifying to watch the first game they played this season. Like, they ran, I think they rushed for like 140 or 100, like some appalling number in the first quarter, 100 something, well over 100. And scored like 16 points.
Yeah.
Then they lost like 41-16. So
yeah,
they just don't have the. I mean,
they played like crazy last week, and a lot of times
they're bringing in Jesus
came up
to
empty.
A gunfight.
Yeah,
is the thing.
They played like crazy against the Steelers last week, and a lot of times came up empty. But at the end of that game, it was not right at all that the Steelers still had a hand in that game, because the Broncos were all over them, but the Steelers managed to stop them from scoring touchdowns. Really.
Yeah, basically the Patriots' defense is terrible this year, but they're not as gimpy right now as the Steelers' defense wound up in that game. Because they had like two linemen out.
Yeah, I mean,
they were
injuries.
You know, they had the. I mean, Ryan Clark being out, you know, because he would die in Denver is huge.
It is.
Man, you want to talk about home field advantage?
Yeah,
having
it's
one of
true.
The other team's best players have a condition such that he might die if he played football in your stadium.
Yeah, it's
that's
home
a
field.
Hell of a home field that's advantage.
It's like having like
and they used it.
One alligator on the field is basically the equivalent.
It's like you get home field advantage. You also get to put one sniper in the crowd
with one bullet.
With one bullet.
Oh well. Anyways, that's our NFL roundup.
Roundup.
All right, Dave. So you want to talk about a serious topic. How much time we got left?
If we're trying to keep it to 30 minutes...
We've got to.
Then we've got approximately 1 minute.
All right, Dave. 1 minute. Morality and free will. Do it.
Okay, this is probably going to be a preview for our next episode a little bit, because I think we may want to dig into this a little deeper. But I'm just going to start with something. My overall thesis is... One thing I've noticed in discussions of free will is that, in general, people often will come to a conclusion, you know, maybe if there is no free will or there is free will. You know, usually if there is no free will, because free will, I think, in terms of how people act and live, is kind of assumed.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are, you know, whether it's, you know, like incompatibilism, where you just say straight up, no, there's no free will. Or if it's a compatibilist thing where you're basically saying the same thing, but then you're like, but here's this other thing we can call free will because I like the concept. Man, I'm down on compatibilism these days. But...
Yeah, that was a very negative view of compatibilism.
Yep. So, you know, we can talk about that a little later.
I'm pro-compatibilism.
We can talk about that.
Like, it doesn't really... Again, let me throw out my quick thing about this whole thing. If
Rebut.
I can sum up...
Rebut.
If I can sum up all of... the free will determinism and how morality fits into that argument in two words, one of which is a contraction, it would be, it's nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go on and on.
Yeah, I think that. We have.
I believe Plinko Planko
was part of it.
Is a whole part of that. Plinko Planko to me is kind of the question of morality with regards to a free will argument. We'll go over that again. We can have Plinko Planko too.
Mm-hmm. Rematch. It's like the Thrilla in Manila. Plinko v. Planko 2.
Or Electric Boogaloo.
Either good. But anyhow, because one thing I've been thinking, for example, when people talk about, you know, kind of the free will problem and then the problem of, you know, moral agency and punishment, you know, they often do that in a punishment sort of capacity. But then if there is no free will, then they start talking about, you know, what does that mean, you know, in terms of how we should punish?
Yeah.
Or, you know, in terms of moral agency. But then what sort of started occurring to me is if there's no free will, and, you know, in terms of, you know, someone's actions that they commit, you know, their negative actions, you have to keep on going with the premise. Then there's also no free will in terms of, you know, how punishment exists and how morale, like, that just also happens. Like, stay with the premise.
It's a fun conclusion.
Like, I feel like people start with the premise and then go away from the premise.
Yeah, I see where you're going, and that is a fine answer, I think. I don't think it's a complete answer.
The question of what does that mean?
Yeah.
That's where I'm at now, and I haven't figured through that yet.
If I could just quickly solve this problem for you.
Give it a shot.
And then next show, we can, you know, you can talk about how I fixed it for you. It is basically this. Punishment is corrective. It is not vengeful. Vengeful punishment is meaningless and does not address the problem of moral behavior, right? If you take out my eye and I take out your eye,
I believe that leaves the whole world blind.
Exactly. The point is that all I've done is seek revenge. That it's not corrective. I'm not changing your behavior. You may be less likely to take out another guy's eye, but only if you think that guy could take out your eye too. And this is where crime and getting caught and that whole thing is a question. It, to me, is the problem with punishment is that you don't seek to correct; you seek to have revenge. So, corrective punishment is the way to go. Now, is jail corrective punishment? Possibly, it could be framed that way. Is the death penalty corrective punishment? No, it's absolutely impossible to be corrective. It's, you know, it's purely vengeful. Or, I mean, it's possible that that falls into the third or a second category of punishment. The first category of punishment, again, corrective. I think vengeful punishment does not belong in any kind of system. You could talk, I mean, people do it, but it's purely motivated by emotion. It doesn't have moral, there's no moral value to revenge. Like, it's not a good. It's never a good. Anyways, corrective punishment can be a moral good. Then you have the second kind that I would accept, which is protective punishment, which is to say that a person is dangerous and that the punishment is to protect the rest of the population from them. So you have corrective punishment and protective punishment. And that's how it works, Dave.
All right. See, here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
And I think we're going to have to wrap
it here.
We're
like 4 minutes over, Dave.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
We're going to get phone calls.
Angry phone calls.
Angry letters from phone calls.
Oh, man. So we're going to have to...
dictated over the phone or
so
the letters.
I think where this goes from there is I agree with sort of the ways you just outlined punishment.
Yes.
Like, in terms of, you know, how it works in our society, you know, what it means, you know, what... I even think, you know, again, yeah, pure, you know, vengeful punishment I don't think is particularly useful, whereas, you know, the other two, you know, potentially corrective or protective punishment. So basically, I'm with you on that.
All right.
But for me, then, the problem is that still, like, all of that stuff is at this level above the free will question. And... Well, like, to me, the fundamental
I think what
problem,
it does, what, it, mm-hmm. what, the, what I was trying to argue really is that the difference between determinism and free will has no bearing on punishment. Because it does not matter if you chose to do the actions. Just like Planko, if he hits you with a board...
He hits you with a board.
He hits you with a board. If he you can't see inside Planko's, you know, so to speak, Chinese box, you don't know if he has free will or not because he's a robot. And we have, let's say we have no idea, you know, he's been programmed, but we don't know if that gave him real choice or not, right?
All
right. And so Planko hits you with a board and you say, well, that's wrong. Okay, because we don't want people walking around hitting each other with boards. We will lock Planko up to protect the public from his board activities and to hopefully find a way to correct his board activities. Because it doesn't matter, again, if it's free will or deterministic, we can change behavior. It happens all the time. It may have been predetermined that we chose that behavior, or the person may choose to change their behavior. It doesn't fucking matter. It has no bearing in the long run because morality is about what should be done, not what is chosen to be done.
Yeah, I think that's where I agree with you. But then the thing that just is still striking me more and more recently as being very weird is that on the one hand, you know, in terms of morality, punishment, you know, like the big, you know, ethical questions of how we feel about life and how we experience, and even non-ethical, just, you know, sort of epistemological, you know, how we know things, how we experience life. Like, that all seems to be based upon, you know, perceptions we have, such as, you know, that we've talked about, yeah. You know, free will, consciousness, like, basically, stuff that isn't real. Like, all of the things we experience and the ways we need to construct society to make it work is all based on stuff that when we really look at it, we're pretty sure it's not real.
Yeah.
And that's weird, and what does that mean? That's kind of
yeah,
the big thing.
I think that's episode 57 right there. Yeah. We'll have to talk about all the weird concepts that make us value certain things or structure the way we look at things. And my basic argument, here's a preview, will be, yeah, it's wrong. It doesn't matter. We can reframe and rethink about it, and there's still probably these are the best ways to do things.
Yeah, I think to a certain extent...
You can take
extent,
all the fun out of it. It's yeah, still the stuff
to a certain
that we probably
extent,
should
it's
be
that,
doing.
Like, and I think this is what I always come back to when we've talked about this before, and you know, I'll come back to it again, I'm sure, is that David Hume thing where he, you know, would always, you know, in his philosophy, you know, his sort of empirical skepticism just, you know, cut, you know, causality and everything to shreds. Yeah. And then it was like, yeah, and how do you live? And he's like, yeah, I do, you know.
Pretty much the same way
I hang
before.
Out with my friends.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, I'm, you know, the I have a
understanding...
drink. I hang out with my friends. You know, I live.
It's like playing
it's
a
weird.
Video game
it's
to a
weird.
Degree because we all know the video game is an illusion. It's just sprites, light projecting into your eye that gives you the idea of something happening. It's not really happening. But we play the video game like it is, and that's the fun of it. I mean, it's kind of like that's the fun of it in life is that you can overthink this stuff all day long, and probably the next day fun is still going to be fun. And that's just how it goes.
All right.
Anyways,
as a final thought, just not on this, but just on our show, one thing I've noticed, I don't know if this is going to go away when we master our new format. I don't think it will, because I don't think we're ever going to master our new format, but I also kind of hope it doesn't, is it's about, like, somewhere between 20 to 25 minutes of the leisurely chat and discussion that you've come to know and love, and then somewhere between 5 to 15 minutes of just throwing ideas out real fast, because we realize what time it is. Yeah. I'm enjoying that.
Enjoy it while it lasts. All right. That's been episode 56 of I'm Trying to Think. Please contact us at contact@imtryingtothink.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you want to suggest a topic, if you want to berate us, I don't care. Just write us and become a fan on Facebook and do all that good stuff that fans do. In the meantime, we'll be sitting here. Dave, do you want to 2 weeks? Is it going to be a week? Is it going to be 2 weeks? What do you want to do?
I don't
know.
This
is real fresh. I'm feeling maybe we should try next weekend.
Let's give it a shot.
Let's give it a shot. No promises, but I promise we'll do a show next weekend. All right. Thank you for listening. We'll be back later. Enjoy this. It's I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred. I don't know why. It's just what I picked. York. See, it actually kind of addresses the whole question, because he's too sexy for his shirt, but he's still wearing it, you know? He has to go on knowing that it's an illusion. He's too sexy for what he's doing, but he still just does it, you know? It's deep.
Skeptical face. I'm making my skeptical face.
He is, ladies and gentlemen.